Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, October 13th, 2014. And with me today, I have the always energetic Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing good. And and the man with a soapbox today, Dave Hamilton.
I am here. Let me shuffle this back into its spot. There we go.
There. Excellent. Yes.
I hope it isn't Lifebuoy soap.
And this is one of the many reasons I love having you around, Kelly. Okay. So the first topic that I want to take a look at today, hence the need for a soapbox, is the news that the Union for Flight Attendants in the United States filed a lawsuit against the FAA in an effort to get the courts to rescind the ruling or the policy change that the FAA instituted about a year ago, saying that it's okay to have gate-to-gate small electronic device usage.
So hey, wait, Dave. We want to stop people from using their iPads and iPhones during takeoff, but nothing was said in this about them holding, say, you know, books or knitting needles or the thing that's always been allowed during takeoff and landing. Yes, you know you've read it right there in the little thing and ignored it, the electric razor. So those three things, books, knitting needles, and electric razors are okay still, as they always have been. But iPads and iPhones over the last year, it's been an absolute disaster, and we must go back, so much so we're suing the FAA. Not say petitioning our employers to please take a look at the evidence over the last year and disallow this, right? Because the FAA didn't mandate it. The right. FAA simply said, carriers, it's your choice. Here's what we've found. You're allowed to make this choice now. That's all. That's all. Yeah. And now we're suing the FAA for giving your employer a choice as to how they conduct their business. That's what we're doing, flight attendants?
I think you pretty much have a firm grip on that, Dave. Yeah. Yeah. And just
is your grip as firm during takeoff? Because apparently that's the issue.
Yeah. There you go. That's the issue, that we could lose control over our iPhones and iPads. They could go flying through the cabin and someone could get hurt.
No.
I would like to point out I've never been hit by an electronic device during takeoff or landing. I have been hit by a couple of books, but I've never been hit by an electronic device.
What is this really about? I mean, let's boil this down to its essence. Is it that they don't like the fact that people can get on the plane and immediately, now it used to be there was no real reason to turn on your iPhone and or your iPad and start watching a movie and disappear into that world until you were at 10,000 feet because you knew you were going to have to put it away during takeoff anyway, and taxi roll, right? I mean, taxi roll can be a long time. Takeoff is a very short process, right? But yes. The taxi roll and the boarding time and all of that is a very long, tedious process. Is it perhaps that the flight attendants do not, and I could see this, they do not like the fact that people now have an easy way, almost an encouraged way, to detach from the world around them while flight attendants would otherwise prefer to have their attention? Is that what's going on?
That makes more sense. That is definitely part of this.
Okay.
Yeah. That I could see.
Although, if that were the case, then I think they should also ask for a ban on the other things that we already have that make it easy to disengage and not pay attention to what they're saying or doing, such as knitting or reading books or magazines.
Right. Right. Do nothing. You know, maybe we allow people to tend to their children's needs, which also is quite distracting, I'll add. But maybe we allow that during the boarding process, but nothing else allowed during the boarding process. And I could actually see that being helpful because if I happen to be, you know, in a window seat and the person in the aisle or the middle is already seated and is knee deep in their book, magazine, iPod, iPad, it doesn't matter. You know, it delays the process because they need to be removed from that world, brought back into the boarding world, and then they need to get up so that I can get in. That process actually slows down boarding. I mean, I can see that would be a thing. Don't buckle your safety belts until everybody in your aisle is in. You know, I mean, there's other rules that we could
right.
Add to this that truly would make boarding a more efficient process. And airlines have tried this. They tried boarding window seats first, then middles, then aisles, right? I mean, they've tried this in many different ways, or boarding different sections of the plane at different times, and they're still iterating on that. But having the passengers actively involved and explicitly involved in the efficiency of the boarding process, that wouldn't be a bad thing. But once the door's closed, who cares?
I agree. And yeah, if there was something that could be done to make boarding a plane more efficient, I would be very receptive to seeing how that works. But yeah,
and I'd be willing to make that trade-off.
Sure, but once we're on the plane and they have closed the door, all right, at that point, it's not like there's going to be any surprise passengers getting on. Or if there are, at that point, no one is going to be concerned about whether or not you have an iPhone in your hand.
And is it headphones? I mean, is that the issue? Is it that perhaps during takeoff, they could need to get your attention very, very quickly, and audibly is the best way to do that? And yet, if you're in your world, you're not going to hear necessarily.
Right.
Right. It's different than watching an in-flight movie where they can actually interrupt your headphones. Mm-hmm. And it totally would be possible for the airlines at every seat to put a little pass-through connector. You know, you plug this into your device, plug your headphones into this, and we reserve the right to interrupt your audio stream so that we can give you a message. That would actually be really smart. Right?
Well, knowing how many people I know who travel with noise-canceling headphones, that makes complete sense.
Actually, noise-canceling headphones make that better, right? Because noise-canceling cancels out the droning, consistent, predictable noise and actually enhances the speech around you, right?
Oh,
it can,
okay.
Right? I mean, depending on how they're built. But
I don't have any, so I don't know.
It can make those announcements come through louder and clearer because you're actually reducing the dB of the external, you know, kind of the hum of the plane. So
okay,
yeah,
huh,
I don't know. Suing the FAA it seems to me to be absolutely the wrong move. Why are we?
I'm having the hard time with. Like, I get that maybe they don't like it for whatever reason that they don't like it, and so far that has yet to become clear. But I don't understand what suing the FAA has to do with it. Why don't they go to each employer, each airline at a time? It's not like it would be complicated. Aren't we down to, like, four?
Give or
yeah,
take.
Kind of. Yeah. But that's it. All it takes is a couple of them to adopt a reasonable policy. I mean, like this one, right? It didn't take much time at all for all of the airlines to adopt, or most of the airlines to adopt a, hey, yeah, you can use your stuff during takeoff and landing. Mm-hmm. Now maybe we need a tweak to that policy. Okay, yeah. All it takes is let one airline do it and test it. If the market responds favorably, and the market could be customers and staff, right? I mean, there's, you know, listen to both. If they do, then all the other airlines are going to follow suit because it's right. How that kind of thing works.
Yeah, but see, that's kind of happened to a degree because there were the study phases before the FAA said, yeah, this is okay. And then there are airlines in other countries that have been able to do this for quite a while now. So it's not like this is a brand new thing and there's no data to go along with whatever argument you want. It's just in this case, I question if there is good data to back up the whole thing of, well, during takeoff and landing, there's a higher likelihood of turbulence and iPhones and iPads and Kindles go flying through the air.
But not knitting needles or books.
Right.
See, yeah, if what you're concerned about is injuring someone else, if I'm sitting next to Dave, and Dave is, for whatever reason, unable to keep a grip on his monster iPhone 6 Plus, I'm probably going to be okay if that hits me. With a knitting needle, I can't guarantee that. Because they are sharp. They're not as sharp as, like, a sewing needle. But they're sharp. I knit. I know. It would not be comfortable, particularly if you were to jab a softer part with it. You know, a knitting needle in the eye is probably not comfortable. But I'm pretty sure if I got hit with Dave's 6 Plus in the eye, it probably wouldn't be so bad.
No, it would piss you off, but you wouldn't be blind.
Exactly.
And now, to be clear, I'm not condoning this, but I'm betting that if someone wanted to test how quickly they could kill someone with a knitting needle versus an iPhone 6, the knitting needle would win hands down.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it in a movie.
You probably
have. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I always found it ironic that I would, my wife knits, right? And so up until a year ago, she would be there knitting away during takeoff. What I wanted to do was tweet a picture of her knitting, while she was sitting there on the plane, because I thought that was sort of ironic that she could do that, but I couldn't, you know, read on my iPhone. But the thing was, I would have been breaking the rules had I taken a picture of her knitting, because that was against the rules.
You know, what you should have done is taken a very sharp pencil with you so that you could quickly sketch a picture of your wife knitting during takeoff.
Could I whittle during takeoff? Is that okay?
Depends if you can get the knife aboard.
Yeah, let's say that I could.
Then I think you can.
Yeah, I'll use just one of those little knives, the tiny ones, very, very loud ones. Yeah, I'll start whittling. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring a knife on, and I'm going to whittle during takeoff and landing if they ever ban the use of my iPod or iPhone.
I think this is an awesome plan.
I love this
totally
protest. I'm just curious what the impetus was for the flight attendants to bring this lawsuit, because I really would like to know if it's because they have some sort of data about something and that we just haven't seen it yet, or if it's, you know, because it took them a year. Like we said, a year ago this went into effect. And so it's taken them a year to get around to saying, not only do we not like it, we're going to sue to make sure the rule gets changed. And that just seems like overkill to me, but it also seems late.
In that year, how much danger has this caused versus how much frustration has it caused on part of the flight attendants not being able to get people's attention? And again, I think there's clearly a basis for this. I think they're obscuring that.
I just found a new piece of data about this that I wasn't privy to when I wrote my piece. They filed this in December. And it's only now that the information about the case is out.
Okay, so it's not like it took them forever. Okay.
It didn't take them forever. So they filed the case with what I would presume is a striking lack of evidence to back up their claims.
At that point, probably yes.
Yeah. Hey, we are running close on time. And there's another topic I wanted to hit, so I'm just going to have to move us on. And this fits in nicely because, you know, size sometimes matters. Dave, you wrote an interesting piece last week about your experiences with the iPhone 6 versus 6 Plus and how you perceive these devices.
Yeah, I've made my decision, sort of. And I've chosen that for me an iPhone 6 Plus is the right device. But it's been an interesting process, right? During the announcement, right, at the Flint Center there, they showed both, and immediately I thought, well, the 6 is for me. The 6 Plus, that's crazy, right? Too big. Then I went to the room, the little demo room, and hands on, and more importantly, pockets on with these devices. And I talked about this and wrote an article, but I, you know, was able to fit the 6 Plus in my pocket and thought, oh, wait a minute, you know, bigger device, bigger battery, better camera, fits in pocket still. Why wouldn't I get this? So then I was sold and I ordered the 6 Plus. While it was on its way, Apple also sent me a loaner iPhone 6 to test, right? So I knew I would have both. But you know, when I felt it in my pocket, I thought, no way I'll ever use this thing with a case. The 6 Plus, that, you know, it's just, it would be too big then. So I get them both, and I spent the first week, I decided to be methodical. I spent a week with the 6 Plus and then a week with the 6, and I figured I would decide. And during the week with the 6 Plus, I realized, A, I love the device of this size. It fits in my pocket fine with and without a case. And I've found that with this device, you know, it's a different experience than it is with a phone. I've always liked, for the last year, I've had a credit card carrying capable case. So it has my phone and a couple of credit cards and my ID in it. And I found that using a folio style case where there's actually a flip that covers the screen of the 6 Plus that's what holds my credit cards, kind of a billfold, almost checkbook size and style case, works really well with the 6 Plus because it is like having a mini iPad. It's a mini tablet. And so, and it fits fine in my pocket with that case. So after my week with the 6 Plus, I moved to the 6, found that I didn't find the 6 small, but I just found it different. And in the end, it came down to they were both awesome. I liked them both. I had a really hard time deciding. And what made my decision was, do I want to continue carrying a smartphone? And if so, the 6 is an awesome smartphone. Or do I want to carry a portable device with me, a tablet with me, if you will? And if the answer is yes to that, then I want the 6 Plus. And I found a lot of things that I wound up doing with the 6 Plus that I just wouldn't do on the iPhone. You know, things that I had to do for work that normally I'd say, oh, well, I'll wait until I get back to the office and then I'll quickly do that because it needs to get done. I could just do quickly on the 6 Plus because the screen's so much bigger, because it allows for, you know, more of that web browsing and web interaction experience than the 6 does. That and the battery lasts longer. And with the bigger screen, I don't use my iPad mini nearly as much, if at all. So that was my quick synopsis.
And your synopsis, okay, so what you did with your synopsis and your piece was you totally nailed what I've been thinking. So thank you for the validation, which is the iPhone 6 is great if you want to have a smartphone with you all the time. And the iPhone 6 Plus is great if you want to have a tablet and sometimes you make phone calls.
Right. And you know what's funny is, and this happened as recently as last night, and I'm sure it will continue to happen. I was waiting for my son's hockey game to start, and one of the other dads and I were talking, and he's a techie kind of guy, works in the web design world, and he was talking about getting a new phone. He's an Android guy, so he was talking about the new Motorola coming and this, that, and the other, and he said, but you know, that one's like the size of the 6 Plus, and so I pulled the 6 Plus out of my pocket, and he was saying it sort of jokingly, like, there's no way I would have that, and at first he laughed. He's like, oh, there it is, and then he saw my case, and he's like, wait a minute, so you've got your cards there. You can stand that thing up. He's like, but it still fits in your pocket. And instantly, I could see the wheels churning. He's like, wait a minute. I want that. He's like, with that kind of case on there and using it in that way, that's awesome that you have that with you all the time. Like, right. Now, not everybody's going to agree with that. And that's okay. That's sort of the point, is you got to pick what's right for you. But there is a use case for this that sort of surprised me.
You know, back in the days before smartphones, I carried a day timer, like mm-hmm. everywhere I went.
Everywhere.
Nice leather case, zipped closed, and it was along the lines of the size of the 6 Plus, but thicker because there's all that stuff inside. Right. And that was never a problem for me. Size for that it was totally fine, even though I couldn't put that in my pocket. And look how times have changed, because now the 6 Plus is not the right device for me. It's just too big. And the fact that I can't use it in the way that I want to use my device makes mm-hmm. it inappropriate for me. But there was a time when something that big or even a little bigger was exactly right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally. I think what's really been interesting is that other people have come to the same conclusion. I know Dan Frakes over at Six Colors, late of Macworld, said that he came to the same conclusion because he stopped thinking about it as a phone, and that was what made him decide it was the Plus, because he sat down and really thought about it and went, how often do I make a phone call? Everybody wants to laugh at holding this up to your head, but I don't. When I do make phone calls with it, it's either, you know, somebody calls me and I have my headphones in, or I am consciously sitting down to make phone calls and I have a headset on of my own, whether it's Bluetooth or, you know, the pack-in headphones. So I don't spend a lot of time holding my phone to my head anyway, and I don't really think about it as a phone because making calls is so far down the list of things it does.
I will say that making calls with this works fine. I was on a 20-minute call this morning and it, you know, I held it to my head the whole time and it wasn't a big deal. But I get it. I mean, I get it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is a thing that people consider. So it was really interesting to me that you came to the same conclusion, which was once I stopped thinking about it as a phone, then it, you know, the choice became clear for you. So at my house, Mr. Kelly got a 6 because they had some 6 Plus cases on a table at Best Buy out of the box and everything. And I said, put it in your pocket and walk around. And he put it in his pocket and he came back and he said, but these are my dress pants, because he had come straight from work. These are dress pants. So my jeans don't have pockets this big. I just don't think so. I'm getting a 6. So he got a 6. And so far, he's really happy with it. He came from a 4S to a 6. And for people who don't think even the 6 is going to be appropriate, Apple still sells the 5S. And there's no shame in that game.
There you go. All right. Hey, we are totally out of time. So I have to wrap us up. It's been great having both of you with me today. So, Kelly, Dave, thank you so much for joining me.
Knitting needles?
Knitting needles.